You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Did the President Biden work with the coward exiled president of Afghanistan to manipulate the intelligence about the Taliban?
What the president said to then President Ghani in private is exactly what he said in public, that the issue was not whether Afghanistan had the capacity to withstand the Taliban. It's whether it had the will and the plan to do so.
He urged him. The transcript is a lie.
It's false.
It's incorrect.
To bring people together.
Saying it's false. It's a lie. It's incorrect. He did not work to tamp down the intelligence on the Taliban.
Absolutely not.
Of course, absolutely not. This is September 14th, 2021. That's one of the exchanges that took place between Congressman Brian Mass, Republican, Florida, Army vet, double amputee, asking the questions Americans want to know about what the hell happened in Afghanistan with the withdrawal plan, if there was ever a plan, or it's just like, I don't know, roll the dice, let's do it now. However we can do it. And insisting the president saying, we will not leave until we have every American. And, of course, now they say and admit we didn't get every American out. Oh, but some of them wanted to stay because they have family there. Right. Oh, some of them wanted to stay because they couldn't take the flight we offered them because they were kind of sick. Right. These kinds of excuses I expect better from a third grader. Yeah, maybe I might set the expectations too high. Let's make it a kindergartner. Even they could come up with better excuses than this. The dog did it. But that's Congressman Brian Mass pushing the Secretary of State Blinken as he continues his congressional testimony about what happened to Afghanistan. And General Austin was to be also testifying. Apparently he's decided, no, we're not going to. Now, why do you think that would be? Could it be that he's afraid of having to perjure himself? Because the very question Congressman Mast was asking there, did the Biden White House work with the Afghan president to manipulate any intel regarding Afghanistan and what would happen if we withdrew without proper security in place, wherever else you want to go with it? Remember, there was a phone call. The transcript has been made public. Reuters, I think, broke the story along with some others. A phone call between Biden and the then president of Afghanistan. And President Biden is telling the Afghan president, well, if it looks bad, make it look better. You know, continue to make it look like everything's okay. So apparently Biden knew somebody in the White House or the State Department or Pentagon knew the situation was worsening day by day because there were already numerous reports of the Taliban racing across Afghanistan into various locations. The killings were already underway. Occupation already underway. And Biden then suddenly decided, or somebody, to close Bagram Air Force Base, which meant there's no air support for the Afghan troops fighting the Taliban. So they're going to be definitely in jeopardy. And, of course, then we decided some stupid decision to take over the airport in Karzai, an international normal commercial airport, which you can't really protect, and right in the center of the Karzai city where everybody could swarm the tarmac, where Bagram is 30-plus miles outside the city. There's a lot of questions to be asked. We're going to break that down for you. Also, the chief of staff to Biden's Department of Homeland Security, by the way, Secretary Mayorkas, the chief of staff to Mayorkas, suddenly resigned. apparently has, quote, an undisclosed opportunity. Maybe that means the door to get out of the building before it falls down on them. And also, the battle continues over the vaccine mandates. There is an immunologist who said, I voted for Biden. I thought he would bring scientific evidence to the table and begin to soothe and calm the people and get off of fear-mongering that I believe Trump was responsible for. This same immunologist now says, I made a mistake. Biden has screwed this up worse, especially with the mandates, because he is discriminating against 80 to 100 million Americans. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. Baby,
we're in a position where our country for the past several years has been tremendously divided. And, you know, frankly, as a friend to John McCain, I felt that President Biden stands a chance of uniting the country, acting on science, taking down the temperature, if you will. And, you know, on Thursday, I finally came to the recognition as an immunologist, based on this, the rigidity of this mandate and the massive blunder that's contained within it, that this is not happening. I have to say, the mandate as it stands, essentially has opened the door to discrimination against about 80 to 100 million Americans who are naturally immune.
Those are the words of an immunologist, Dr. Houman Narkazam, who said, I voted for Biden. I actually thought that he would be the guy that would be better, and especially while we're in the midst of this COVID issue. He's having second thoughts. He is having what I expect to see with the nation overall come 2022. Buyer's remorse for a lot of those who voted for Biden and Harris. And it's going to be reflected in those congressional and Senate races at that time. And just between you and me, just between us, I can whisper just like President Biden. Just between us, a lot of the Democrats have the same damn fear. They think that it's going to blow up in our face. This is all going to blow up in our face. We got the COVID crisis that Biden said he was going to eliminate, and all they're doing is insisting on more laws and restricting Americans, and they don't like it. and many Democrats don't like it either, by the way. Many of them are members of unions that are fighting it every step of the way. And while they're imposing all these mandates on the common American citizen, and various government agencies or businesses doing business with the government and telling employers of other businesses, if you have 100 or more employees and you don't have everyone vaccinated or some legitimate doctor's excuse or legitimate concern for religious reasons, you're going to be paying a big fine for each instance. With all of that in play, they don't seem to be that concerned about Afghans that they're bringing into the nation. Then said back in August when they first started all this, they said that we don't really need to vaccinate those we're bringing in. Oh, you don't remember that? It was 4 weeks ago. I understand we've had a lot under the water, under the bridge since then, but just 4 weeks ago, amid all the chaos, the U.S. said it took at least one step. This is the way it's written by Associated Press. I'm going to give them credit for it. We took at least one step to ease requirements for those seeking to leave COVID-19 test. And adds that although Afghanistan has been a hot spot for the coronavirus pandemic, the State Department said Thursday the evacuees are not required to get a negative COVID-19 result to travel. The department gave them a blanket humanitarian waiver for all the persons the U.S. government is relocating from Afghanistan. That's a statement direct from the State Department. And then they said, oh, once they arrive here, the Department of Health and Human Services will carry out various medical exams. Well, how's that working? We don't really know because we're not getting a lot, but we do know this. This story just coming out of Virginia. Five of those who came in from Afghanistan diagnosed with measles. Measles. Now, it's not COVID, but measles is also highly infectious, highly contagious, spreading through coughing, sneezing, contact with droplets from nose, mouth, throat. Most Americans, of course, have been vaccinated against it as children. So here's Virginia reporting measles cases as these U.S.-bound flights of Afghan evacuees arrive. And apparently the notice was sent to the State Department last Friday, but just today, Virginia health officials are admitting it, but they're not giving full details. So now they got to look at everyone that came in contact with all of these Afghan refugees that came into Virginia. That means American citizens. And, of course, also keep in mind, our border is open. We are not vaccinating illegals coming across. Well, now, we were told, let me correct that. I'll give a little pass to the government. We were told about a week and a half ago, in fact, Alejandro Mayorkas said, I think we're going to start vaccinating illegals. I think, after you've been telling us since January, Feb, March, you got to get it. No, this is exactly what we're seeing happen right now with this immunologist who thought, well, Biden and his team will do a better job, and they're realizing they're not. In fact, they don't seem to have any clue whatsoever. And the unions, despite many of the Democrats insisting we're still doing the right thing, they know many of their members are union members. They know that. So there brings another issue for them. Perfect example, one, the Postal Workers Union. What is it, 400,000, 600,000? I think 640,000 postal workers. Their union said, we're not going to do it. You can't make us. Yeah, pretty much just like that. We're not going to, and you can't make us. And, of course, we've had teachers' unions constantly fighting to even go back to school. Now, I want to stress to you, there's a difference between the teachers' union and union leaders and many of those teachers in rank and file. In some cases, they're forced to join a union, and they don't like some of the decisions, but they have to pay into the union, and the union can represent them and help them from time to time if it's not beating them over the head or jeopardizing them. And those unions also have been very, very big with the Biden administration. They seem to listen closely. One of them being Randy Weingarten, the American Federation of Teachers, appearing on CNN. And it's pretty well open to, yes, we should require all of our members and every student to be vaccinated and just accept this is your life.
I think that there's a hesitancy right now, no pun intended, because we don't yet have a vaccine for kids who are 2 to 12. I'm hopeful that that's going to happen soon. But you know, vaccines are a way of life. And in these states where, you know, there's hesitancy or resisting about this one, when we have so many already, I think we have to get through the disinformation and we have to find ways to make sure that the public knows, starting with educators, and healthcare workers and employers all over, that these vaccines are safe and effective.
All right. That, again, is a response from Randy Weingarten. And saying that, you know, we should deal with these governors. She's talking about the governor, red state governors, and others who just don't seem to understand the danger here. And we're just going to accept it. So what is her response to the postal workers union? Since the pandemic began, according to information I've got here in front of me, and this is from a government executive publication, the U.S. Postal Service has seen 10% of their employees with COVID. And yes, it's 640,000. But when the order came down the other day from the White House, the executive order, the spokesman for that union said federal employee mandates do not apply to the postal services. So you got unions battling among themselves if we should do this or have we done it? Are we going to continue? And, of course, in the midst of all of this, it's always good if you can find a story that shows just how bad things are, like a CNN found a story in Kentucky.
This is not fun and games. I've been here so long, I want to go home. But I can't go home because I can't breathe still. This is not a game at all. When you're sitting here and you can't breathe and you feel like you're going to die.
In the hospital, 19 days now, the unvaccinated 42-year-old isn't sure how he picked up the virus. He toughed it out at home for 8 days before being admitted.
How serious is COVID?
It's bad to the bone. I recommend everybody wash their hands, do what they got to do. Stay home. Stay social distance because it's bad. Trust me, it's bad.
Until you had it, did you think it was bad?
No.
What did you think it was?
I didn't pay no attention, to be honest. But I do now. And get your shots.
Wanda Combs manages the nursing staff in the COVID ICU at Appalachian Regional Healthcare's largest facility in Hazard, Kentucky. A nurse for 30 years, the job never tougher.
It's been very, very hard. And I get emotional because it is our community. ICU nurses work very hard. They work very hard every day. But you can usually see a difference. So you work hard and you see a difference, and that's okay. You don't care that you're tired. You've made a difference.
I will take nothing away from those who are hardworking trying to save those lives. And yes, some people have severe reaction to COVID. Some die of it. But we've also been given some figures that are really, they're jammed up. I'm going to get into that in a little bit more detail in a moment on an Atlantic article I want to share with you. But right now, the Biden administration is just pushing full steam ahead. That report out of Kentucky, and again, the man obviously having trouble breathing. I told you I lost a close relative. And if you have children, you're trying to decide what should we do. And keep in mind, in some areas, they want to take vaccines all the way down to age 12. So it's not approved from 12 to 16. And yet they will say, according to the CDC, a pregnant woman, in other words, a pregnant woman carrying an unborn child, obviously younger than 14, 12, or even 1, it's okay for her to have the vaccine? Something does not compute there, and I fear for women and their children in that case. But you need to make the decision you need for you and your family. using the information you have at hand. The problem is some of the information you're getting is jammed up, as I'll tell you in a moment. But let me give you an example of what else is happening. You heard from Randy Weingarten saying that, yeah, the American Federation teachers, we're all for it. We're going to get it clear. We're going to make the people understand. Well, there's a rally called the Teachers for Choice in New York City against mandatory vaccination. These are teachers for choice. And, of course, at football fans at the Coastal Carolina University, Virginia Tech, Auburn University, Texas A&M were seen chanting F Joe Biden at games this month. They're upset with him and these mandates, sweeping mandates. And as he goes into California to campaign for Governor Newsom, trying to keep him in office, he was met by protesters shouting out against the fact that he's letting Afghans into the country that had not been properly tested for vaccines, for COVID. And, of course, they're also certainly not forgetting what actually is at stake, as some of them were shouting out and holding signs, Biden lied, 13 died. We're going to get into that story in more detail about the investigation of what went wrong in Afghanistan the second hour. But when we come back, I want you again to hear from this immunologist who voted for Biden, but now says that was a bad mistake because Biden is now intentionally discriminating against 80 to 100 million Americans. And also, I'll break down that Atlantic article. And then Joy Reid is on the tear against Nicki Minaj over her COVID response. Stand by. In 2010, one Bitcoin was less than a dime. Today, one Bitcoin is almost $50,000. Now, why is it predicted to go over $1 million per coin? Sign up for classes at the First Crypto World Store in St. Charles, the very first crypto store offering crypto education. Details at firstcryptoworld.com. Firstcryptoworld.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
These folks are essentially being discriminated against. The President of the United States pointed to them and opened the door to a massive level of discrimination. And it's not just, you know, verbal discrimination. We're talking about loss of employment. I can't tell you the number of emails I receive every day of Americans who are naturally immune. And I know from a scientific perspective, and I know some of your guests in the past have talked about this. Certainly Dr. Macri's been on with Tucker and with a variety of different hosts. Natural immunity is as effective, if not more so, than vaccine immunity. So the notion that the President of the United States leaves the door open to this level of discrimination against a massive class of Americans is just totally unacceptable.
It is unacceptable, but that's what the Biden administration is doing. Again, those are the words of an immunologist who did vote for President Biden in the 2020 election, Dr. Human Nakazem. He said, I'm a friend of John McCain. I felt that Biden stands a chance of uniting the country and acting on science. But he says he's not. I've told you and I've stressed to you repeatedly, every time the left says, follow the science, your question should be medical science or political science? Because if you're following real medical science, there's no way you can say that a beating heart at 6 weeks or 8 weeks in a womb is not a baby and you're willing to kill it. I know that's another subject, but it's just another example of the hypocrisy. And then you talk about the science here. They want us to believe that all the kids are going to be, you know, in severe threat. If we don't do something right now, we're going to have to do it forever and ever. And Dr. Fake has come out and said, we're all in this lifeboat together. We're basically going to have to start getting Americans all the way down to 12 years old and up, making them get vaccines. And even telling pregnant mothers that your unborn child that you're carrying, you should do it. And in the midst of all this, we're getting a lot of false stories and information which really need to be examined in detail. And we also get a lot of blowhard noise going on. We have to acknowledge that. There are cases like that where people just kind of go ballistic to some extent. But the Atlantic article is one of these that I just didn't have time to get to in more detail yesterday. And this is the thing that really deserves a lot more time, and I'm going to get it here. But it summarizes and absolutely documents what we've already said repeatedly, and that is, did someone die of COVID or with COVID? And the same thing applies, according to the Atlantic article, written in the Atlantic, a new study suggesting almost half of those hospitalized with COVID-19 have mild or asymptomatic. We keep hearing all these cases going into the hospital in COVID, and it is worse in some places, as the Atlantic article points out, including Arkansas and Oregon. But just because the levels are higher, what do they really tell us? Well, all they tell us is just that. It doesn't say if those COVID are that threatening to them. And then we've got a case of, here's someone going ballistic, is Joy Reid in MSNBC. She got upset with a pop artist, Nicki Minaj. Listen to this.
You have a platform, sister, that is 22 million followers. Okay, I have 2 million followers. You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives, my God, sister, you could do better than that. You got that platform. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you got that, that people listen to you. And they listen to you more than they listen to me. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from, oh, my God. As a fan, as a hip-hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad that you did that. So sad that you did that, sister. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's Joy Reid. Oh, my God. Now, I don't know if you're big into Nicki Minaj or even MSNBC Joy Reid, but what sparked that is Nicki Minaj said to go into the Met for a special gala, you had to be vaccinated, said, I won't go. I'm not going to. Coming up, a special interview on Taiwan.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest we've had on before, and glad to have him back, Senior Analyst for Defense Policy for the Center for Security Policy, John Rosamondo. Ron Mermondo. I'm sorry, John. Welcome aboard again, sir.
Thank you.
Now, I wanted to get into a piece that I think originally appeared in the Epoch Times that you wrote regarding Afghanistan and what happened there and how it relates to China and Taiwan. But before I get to that, I'd like your take a little bit on what's been happening on these congressional and Senate committee hearings, such as today, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin would not go to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee chair, to the hearing. Just said, no, nope, not going to be there. Well, what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that he knows that everything that they did was wrong in Afghanistan, and that he has nothing that he wants to say. It shows a bit of arrogance on his part, but that's nothing new. General Austin, when he was head of CENTCOM, was known to be a political animal who was a servant of the Obama-Biden White House. The only reason he's there, according to a source, is because he was friends with Bo Biden. And, you know, he realizes probably that, you know, the policy of withdrawal, the way that it was handled, was a disaster, and he can't defend it.
Well, does he also feel that perhaps he already been thrown under the bus by the Biden administration, like Secretary of State Blinken, and others saying, well, we didn't have that intel, we didn't know that. In other words, a lot of it, they would say that he should have known it, and he should have told us. Of course, they're denying that they knew it. And then the other concern is perjury.
Well, it's probably the truth. I mean, it's like, you know, Fifth Amendment, but also I think that, you know, we're dealing with the fact that this probably was a decision that Biden made unilaterally. So, you know, if Biden made the decision unilaterally, I mean, he could have told the president. He could have told the president that you know, he was wrong. But if the president doesn't go along with his decision, what's he going
to
do?
Yeah, in that case, a general has to follow orders from the top and just carry out what's of options are available, which also brings us to very quickly before I wrap up this part of it, these hearings underway. Congressman Brian Mast, of course, Army vet, Republican, Florida, double amputee, questioning Secretary of State Blinken, referencing the transcript that had been provided of a call between Biden and then the president of Afghanistan, basically telling the president of Afghanistan, kind of tap down how bad things are, kind of, you know, wash over it, don't make it look so bad. And Blinken won't respond if that's correct or not. I think we're going to have specific direct answers from him, Austin, and others to actually know what happened with the Afghan withdrawal and what went upside down.
Well, I definitely think that, you know, we need to get answers, but I don't think that they're going to have the courage to come out and state. I mean, all these guys, if they had, you know, courage or conviction, they would have done what Secretary Mattis did when President Trump wanted to pull out of Syria. They would have said, sir, you can find somebody else to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't.
All right, John Rossomano, again, is my guest. He's a defense analyst for the Center for Security Policy. And what happened in Afghanistan, we've said before, it's going to have ripple effects around the world. And you finished a piece that just got published the 13th, yesterday, talking about how the Chinese Communist Party propaganda, the Global Times, already warning Taiwan that the U.S. surrender in Afghanistan shows that Americans will not back you up.
Well, I think that the United States needs to surge forces, you know, together with our allies, Japan, Australia, et cetera, into the South China Sea and East China Sea as a reminder to the CCP and the People's Liberation Army that they won't go unchallenged. I mean, considering that they now view the United States as a paper tiger.
Now, you're suggesting a surge of U.S. and allied forces into those waters.
Exactly. I'm saying to move like a battle carrier battle group. I understand that the USS Carl Vinson and its battle group entered the South China Sea on Sunday.
Which battle group? Was that the Reagan battle group you said?
No, the Reagan battle group's over in the Arabian
Sea. Okay, I thought it was, right.
Yeah, the USS Carl Vinson's battle group is currently, as of this weekend, over in the South China Sea. And I think that we need to maybe wrap up some exercises in the area. I understand today that the U.S. Coast Guard warded off a Chinese destroyer off the coast of the Aleutians in Alaska. So, you know, things are very dangerous right now.
And every time we have these surges or show of force on either side, basically brandishing swords with maybe no intent to use them unless we have to, then you have mistakes happen.
Well, I think that you need to, meet force with force. You can't, be, 100% sure. But in most cases, it's just going to be, a show of force. And I don't think there's a chance of, hostilities breaking out, you don't fire the first shot.
But then you, if you had to take the first shot, you're looking at U.S. or ally casualties, and then what kind of response would be appropriate?
Well, I think that that would be up to the president in consultation with the Congress. I don't want to go into any specific strategies, but I think that you need to meet force with force and to send a reminder that any attack will be met with reciprocal force.
You also pointed out that the Chinese government has given authorization to their Coast Guard vessels to use live ammunition against fishing vessels that they consider enter these contested waters. The Pentagon refusing to back down, that it's a freedom of navigation area and that we will fly, sail, operate wherever international law allows. Well, China says that's not international water. At some point, you're not going to draw a line in the sand this time, but you're going to go on some kind of GPS location, say this is or is not international waters. We've already done that, but they keep extending it. China does.
Well, they've declared that all of the South China Sea is their territory. I mean, if they were to attack a U.S. warship or U.S. Flag vessel or whichever, then I think we would end up having to go to Congress and consider further authorization of force, declaration of war, whichever, depending upon the magnitude of the confrontation. But I think that we must avoid direct confrontation, at all costs. And if the Chinese decide to fire the first shot, then that's the way it'll have to be. I mean, like during World War One, when the Germans engaged in unrestricted warfare against U.S. Shipping.
You're saying, good point. You're saying, by the way, that the Biden administration needs to start building and more than building. I mean, they need to work with allies, Japan, Australia, India, Philippines, Vietnam, start beefing up military activities. You said a surge with all of them being involved. Unless all of them are taking part, does China look at it again and say, see, the U.S. can't even get allies to stand with it, so because they fear that they'll be abandoned, as they did in Afghanistan?
Well, I think that what we really need to be looking at is the creation of a kind of a NATO-type infrastructure with our allies in Asia and the Asia-Pacific region to contain China, like George Kennan and Harry Truman built NATO to contain the Soviets. So I think that we need to get some good people in there. One person who I respect is Admiral Charles Richard, the head of U.S. Strategic Command, because he gets the what the threat is, and he's been talking about the threat of China's nuclear buildup. I mean, I think it's a matter almost now of when the war is, not if, because that looks like that's the direction the Chinese are heading.
Excellent point. John, as always, I appreciate you joining us and sharing your information, and we'll be back with you because obviously there are going to be more chapters to this story, sir.
Thank you.
Very much so. John Rosamondo, Center for Security Policy, Senior Analyst for Defense Policy. Yeah, we need to worry about that, don't we? Because it's not going to get easier. The Chinese are going to push it as far as we will allow them. And this administration indicated already we're willing to do it. So one thing about the vaccine mandate, does it now redefine that you do have freedom of choice, that your body is your body, or is it not your body? Interesting story on that coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So there's no question that we have been wrestling with that if you listen to those who are all in favor of it's my body, my choice when it comes to an abortion, suddenly doesn't seem to exist if it's your body and your choice if you want a vaccine or not. And we have been given so many pieces of lies and misinformation stacked up on top of each other. I mean, my God, it's like, you know, you go in one of the, you remember the days you go in those pancake houses and they just put stack and stack and stack and butter in between. Oh, it looks good, but boy, you don't want to touch it. It's going to be with you the rest of the day. Well, this is going to be with us for a long time if we don't take a stand and start saying, it is my body, my choice. That's what we've been told. So we're going to buy into your argument. Let me use some examples of where this overreach on the vaccine mandates is showing some backbone of those who said enough. There's an Orange County, Florida firefighter. She 17 year, has been a firefighter for 17 years. Her husband is also a firefighter. And they were told that the Orange County vaccine mandate included union and non-union firefighters. The current deadline would be September 30th, or they face termination. And she said there were so many unanswered questions. The biggest question is, why is our freedom to choose what we do with our body no longer a human right? If this mandate continues, not only will we lose our freedom of choice, but we will lose our jobs and our livelihood. And she said both my husband and I have been productive members of society since teenagers. We want to keep our jobs. And the reasoning behind this mandate, she says, if this is to help employees and protect employees, then why are we being forced into a fate that would be far worse than contracting and recovering from COVID? Because she said, we both have already had it, recovered and back at work, which goes to the heart of the opening sound you were hearing today from the immunologist who said he had voted for Biden, but now said it was a wrong decision because Biden is not accepting the fact that natural immunity is even better than the vaccine. So they're trying to decide what they're going to do. And keep in mind, you were told you don't wear a mask, you don't want to wear a mask, get vaccinated. Oh, you got vaccinated? Well, you're still going to need to wear a mask. And then Biden saying the other day, my patience is wearing thin because so many people are not getting vaccinated. So we're going to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. Wait a minute. That makes no sense whatsoever. You're like a dog chasing his tail. Let me start with one point. You're going to protect the vaccinated when you told them if they get vaccinated, they're protected. And they shouldn't have to worry about being around unvaccinated. But now you're saying we're going to protect them from the unvaccinated because we'll make the unvaccinated vaccinated. Doesn't make sense. And there's more fallout. Navy football coach, the offensive assistant coach, was fired this week. Why? Because he refused to get a COVID-19 vaccine and he had a request for a religious exemption and it got denied. So one of the prime offensive coaches for Navy is now out of a job, got fired. Then you've got an Army officer. I mean, these are happening everywhere. There's an Army officer who's resigning over the Biden vaccine mandate, saying it's a Marxist takeover of the military. This Lieutenant Colonel Paul Douglas Hogg, I think that's pronounced right, he sent out a letter resigning, and said, first and foremost, I'm incapable of subjecting myself to the unlawful, unethical, immoral, tyrannical order to sit still and allow a serum to be injected into my flesh against my will and better judgment. Center for Disease Control, CDC, of course, has said vaccines are safe and effective. There have been problems, but this lieutenant colonel who is resigning says this is basically a Marxist takeover of our government at the upper echelon. You need to make the decision for yourself. And rather than threatening Americans or discriminating against them, as we've seen from those who insist you don't have a vaccine, well, then we're gonna punish you. Encouragement would be better. And if somebody does not get the vaccine and they die of COVID, then you could say, see, I told you so. That's fine if you want. But then if someone gets a vaccine and then they get really sick and then maybe they die of that, then what do you say? I know this is a difficult decision, but it's a personal decision. That's what this government is not getting at this point. The next hour, I'm going to talk to you about Australia and what they've been doing. And we're also going to get into this hearing, the congressional hearing, trying to get to the bottom of Afghanistan. And the lies are thick as flies. Second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.